You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
It's great to have everyone here today. Today we have a special treat for our lesson. As many of you are aware, our theme for the year is from the ancient Israeli prayer, the Shema, love the Lord our God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. And this morning, what we're going to do is we also, as a congregation, know to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and strength means to love our community. And we participate annually in tremendous service projects as part of the Westside Church. We partner with a group called Hope Worldwide. And our upcoming project is this March. It's been put together by a dear brother who's going to be our guest speaker today, and he's an incredible, he's an elder in our Metro LA church. He was appointed an evangelist in the Boston church in 1991, an elder here in the LA church in 1999. Him and his wife Joanne have served the LA church, our fellowship of churches here throughout LA for many, many years. We're so grateful to have him. He's an awesome preacher, he's an awesome servant, he's a doctor, and serves an incredible, which hospital do you serve at right now? You have your own practice, his own Glendale practice, and he's been director of different hospitals, just an incredible man of God. So let's welcome Dr. Doug Weber today.
Wow, what a welcome. How you feeling, Westside? All right, good. I love that. Great to see you all. Good to be back. I want to say a big thank you from the Metro LA Church for just the love, the gratitude that you extended to the Metro LA region when we were suffering from housing insecurity back in 2024 and we were displaced, and you sort of brought us in and shepherded us and took care of us, and we really appreciate it. And now we have a wonderful new renovated building down in the Gardena area. Amen. I'll be talking a little bit in a few minutes about our health fair, which will be in that facility. So God has moved in a great, great way. So I just want to thank you all for welcoming me and having me here. And Billy Nguyen, thank you for all the involvement you've had with the health fair and all your participation there. Amen. So I just wanted to talk about where we are. Oh, let me go back here. Okay, so 2026 is here. Okay, you know, it's scary to think that 1/12 of 2026 is gone. Isn't that, I mean, that's kind of strange, right? But that's true. It seems like it just got here. But it is here, and we got to get on board if we haven't all yet, haven't already done so. But in 2025, I just wanted to share, I actually shared some of these thoughts with the Metro Church a few weeks ago. We closed out. You might see the fellow there with his finger pointing is my son, Matt Weber. He spoke here in June of 2024, if some of you remember, and he's in Boston. That's his son, my grandson, and we decided at the end of 2024 to take in a football game because I'm a longtime New York Giant football fan. Congrats to the Rams. You did a lot better than the Giants did this past year. Matter of fact, that game was known as sort of the Tank Bowl, right, because you had the Raiders and the Giants playing. They had the worst record in the league at that time. The Giants won, so we lost the Tank Bowl, I guess, whoever gets the top pick, but we won the game. Kind of strange way to think about it. But the whole family was together there, and it was Christmas time, so my three grandchildren are there, which is a special time, right? Of course, Grandma and Grandpa are Santa to them. And then we all got together. We had some fun times together and just really had time where we bonded, because it's not easy because we're in different parts of the United States. So just trying to get family together can be a miracle in and of itself. But we had time to share with one another, thank God for the blessings that he bestowed upon us, and just have a wonderful time. For that, we're grateful for. But in 2026, we want to talk about all of us. And so we've got some exciting things to share with you. And hopefully 2026 will be your year to build what lasts. And I'm going to talk about some things today that I believe are really key to building yourself up spiritually in 2026 and seeing the impact you can have on those around you in your community. And so I wanted to start with what we're talking about. And some of you have heard a little bit about this center of hope. So really, what is that really all about? I know in Metro, a number of years ago, good to see the Sanchez's, love you guys. You know, in 2025, some of you know Paris Cunningham, who came in with his wife to lead the Metro Church. And one of the things that we have talked about is just having the heart to see God work in a powerful way by praying, going first to God in prayer. And so we started every single service standing up and praying about the type of church we wanted God to bring about in Metro LA. And so one of the things we prayed about was being a church in the community and a church for the community. And I know as I kept praying that, and we do it every single week, God put it on my heart, well, what can I do? Yes, I serve the church. I'm in a lot of meetings. I serve as an elder. But what, in who I am, what God has made me, what he has given me, what can I do? And, you know, I don't know if I was asked or if I offered, but sometimes you're voluntold, or I don't know how that works sometimes. But God put it on my heart to see, okay, maybe we can do a health fair. It was kind of crazy how quickly so many people rallied around to that whole theme and idea. And then we thought, what about this Center of Hope, which Robert Carrillo had talked about when he was here several years ago, this whole concept of a center of hope. And so we thought, well, maybe we can marry the two of these concepts together. A center of hope and a health fair, at least an inaugural event to get the Center of Hope really moving and working and being something that's viable, that's making an impact in the community, and it's allowing the church to be a light to the world. Amen? And so three regions with one mission. So at this time, those three regions are the Metro LA Church, the Coastal, and West Side. So West Side, Coastal, and Metro LA are essentially functioning as the center of hope for Los Angeles. So who are we? We're a church-sponsored initiative and dynamic hub for outreach and volunteer opportunities for the West Side, Coastal, and Metro LA regional churches of the LA Church of Christ. The mission is to empower church members to create, lead, and support programs that meet the physical, social, and spiritual needs of our communities. To embody Christ's love through action and deepen the church's relationship with the local community. What we do, we create community impact through social services, meeting felt practical needs. Health services, such as the health fair, fostering access to needed health services in the community. Mentorship programs, providing more support for students. Civic engagement, strengthening community ties through social activities, senior support, and fellowship. Really, it's a matter of where God leads us to really help meet the needs in our local communities. And so what we sought out to do initially was to say, okay, we have this idea of a health fair, but what are really the needs in our community? So we wanted to handle that in sort of a scientific type of way. And so we got access to do a needs assessment for the zip codes around that area and in these areas. And so we did this needs assessment, and the needs assessment told us that the major needs in the community, because we want to meet needs, is number one, more affordable housing. Number two, better paying jobs. Also, more support for students. And lastly, but not least, access to health care. Many families struggling with having access to health care, not having enough health insurance to take care of viable needs. And so this sort of takes us back to Black History Month, Dr. Martin Luther King. One of the statements he made, which was very powerful amongst so many, is he said in 1966, when there was overt injustice and racism when it came to health care in the United States, he said, of all forms of discrimination and inequalities, injustice in health is the most shocking and inhuman. And many people have made this statement, but I made this statement. I was asked to put a statement together for a press release for the health fair. And so this is the statement I came up with. We believe that fundamentally health care should be a right and not simply a privilege. It will be a vision realized when every man, woman, and child in our communities are able to have access to the health care they need, regardless of their ethnicity, age, or income. This health fair is about caring and inviting the members of our community to receive medical information provided by leading health professionals, meaningful social connection with their neighbors, and health services and resources on that day. Our hope is that this will bring about the blessing of an improved quality of life for all who participate. You know, it's interesting. 2 weeks ago, I was on a call. I'm helping organize the Western Elders Conference. We have the elders from the western part of the United States come together once a year, and I'm helping to organize that. And on the call that night, this was a Zoom call, there were nine brothers who were on that call, who are elders in various churches throughout the United States. And that night, we sort of ended the call probably about 10 minutes before the end of that of our business, just to sort of go around and identify some needs in that group of these nine brothers. In these nine brothers, that evening, one was really, really, really sick. He could barely be on the call. Another brother, his wife right now, is battling gallbladder cancer, getting chemotherapy. Another brother on the call that night, his wife is battling stomach cancer. It's on chemotherapy, battling things right now. Another brother on that call, his wife had a stroke 3 weeks ago. She's recovering from that. And another brother on that call, his father died about 2 weeks before the call. So out of those nine brothers who were on the call, five of them had been influenced or touched in some significant way within weeks of this call. Their lives turned upside down. And so what does that tell me? It tells me that health-related care is really important. I got a text 2 days ago, one of the dear brothers in our ministry, some of you know, Jacob Esperanto. He was in a meeting. He had to leave the meeting. He was called out of the meeting. His father had suffered an acute intracerebral hemorrhage and was in the emergency room. So he's in the hospital in the ICU right now, and he asked, we'd ask for your prayers for him and his family. But what I'm trying to say, when it comes to health, things can suddenly change. And many of you in this room are pretty young, so you may not have experienced this yet. But some of you may have grandparents or older people, and you understand and they understand how life can change in a second. But what we want to do with this healthcare is even just help people to prevent preventable illnesses. So oftentimes they don't get to that point. And yet so many people don't have the resources to be able to get the kind of care to help prevent getting to these acute situations. And so that's what this health fair is all about. And in Proverbs chapter 3, 27 to 28, it says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. When it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Come back tomorrow, and I'll give it to you at that time,' when you already have it with you." We have resources available to us. And you know what this scripture is telling me is that it is important for us to understand our moral obligation to not withhold good to those who deserve it when it is in our power, when we have the ability, when there is the opportunity that we have. We may not have it, but if we do, to act. It also tells me a little bit about procrastination and putting things off when now we have the opportunity to make a difference. And so that is so much of what this Good Neighbor Health Fair is all about, because we understand there is a healthcare crisis in this country today, unfortunately. We've moved past some of the challenges in 1966 when Dr. King made that comment, when there was overt racism and injustice. But still, in so many places, even in Los Angeles, even in the South Bay, where we will be ministering, there are still so many needs that are unmet. And so that's what we want to make a difference in. So with that being said, our committee went to work, and Billy has been a part of that committee. Billy, we appreciate all your work and involvement in that. But a group of disciples sort of came together, rolled up our sleeves, started praying, and started asking, how can God use us in this situation. And so we've started, and God has been blessing our work. He has given us a wonderful faculty of speakers who will be speaking. You can see their pictures. Some of them, we don't have all of them. It's still a work in progress. But there will be offerings of health talks where you'll be able to, because you're a part of the community as well. So we hope all of you will mark March 14th on your calendars. So all of you are part of that community, but we want to get our neighbors and friends there as well. And so we want people to be able to hear from medical experts. So God has blessed us with a faculty of people who will be there. Amongst that faculty is our own David Bruce, who serves as an elder, who will be talking about mental wellness, Mind Matters, a guide to mental wellness. Also a sister named Julie Barber, who is in the Orange County ministry. Some of you may know her. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist. And she'll be talking about beyond the storm, finding hope and healing after trauma. We're really looking forward to that. But there'll be other speakers as well. And they'll be speaking about HIV screening detection. Dr. King will be talking about that. There'll be a woman, Dr. Gonzalez, talking about breast cancer, which affects 1 in 8 women in the United States. Detect it, treat it, defeat it. Breast cancer prevention. We'll have Dr. Kiyumi, who's an oncologist and hematologist. She'll be talking about don't get scared, get checked. Your guide to early cancer detection. She'll also be talking about cancer and weight, the correlation between the two, the facts that you need to know. There'll be another individual speaking about obesity and talking about the health effects of that. And we can go on and on. There's our own Dr. Calvin Johnson, who's in coastal ministry, an anesthesiologist at Cedars-Sinai. He'll be speaking about maternal health issues. We'll have a colorectal surgeon there. March is colorectal cancer screening month. Dr. Vukasin or one of his colleagues will be there, living without fear of colorectal cancer. And so there are going to be many, many things. Even we mentioned about affordable housing. There are going to be two people from one of our sponsors that will be speaking about financial empowerment and financial wellness. And so we'll have individuals there counseling and giving us information. But not only will there be information, there'll be the opportunity to answer your questions and answer the questions of people in the community as well. But also your very own Melissa Henderson will be speaking. She's a registered dietitian here in Westside. Amen? She'll be talking about Eat Smart, Live Stronger, your wellness blueprint, because we understand how important a healthy diet and adequate nutrition is in our health. And so go on and on. You know, one day I was going through the hospital where I practice, and I walked through the lobby, and I saw this. It was a rotating billboard, and it said, "No act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted." You know, we'll have an opportunity with this health fair to make an impact in our community. But, you know, I thought about it for myself. How much of an impact am I making, you know, every day because of the kindness that comes from my heart? And it's sort of as a reminder as I go about what I do, and hopefully be a reminder to you as well with this saying from Aesop, is that no act of kindness is too small. It is never wasted. And it makes me think, okay, when I go into the hospital, am I holding a door for someone when they come behind me? Am I smiling to someone that I don't know, but just to help warm their day up? Or when I'm talking to a patient, instead of hovering over them, maybe I should take a moment to pull a chair up and sit so I can just look eye to eye with them. Things that take a few seconds of little extra work that make a difference, that are acts of kindness. And so I want to encourage us all to be thinking and considering, how can we, even every day this week, next week, and thereafter, perform small acts of kindness that make such a big difference as we serve the people around us. You know, Jesus is the perfect example and teacher of how to serve, so that what we build through service will last. And so I want to talk a little bit for a few moments, since we've talked about the health fair, about making an impact through acts of service. Serving is the action of helping or doing work for someone or something, such as millions are involved in voluntary service, or you need to have your car serviced regularly. Maybe some of us even in this audience, I don't know. Biblical definition, voluntary active work in service to God and others. So when we serve, we're really serving, yes, our community, but in light of Jesus' commands, we're serving Him. You know that passage in Luke 10 where He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Of course, the question then came, because the person who heard this wanted to justify himself, well, who is my neighbor, right? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus gave him the story of someone who went out and was traveling down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And what happened? He fell into the hands of robbers and was beaten. There were people who passed by, but the good Samaritan or the good neighbor, health fair, what did he do? He stopped. He took pity. He had compassion, and he took responsibility. And when what he couldn't even do for himself, he said, listen, to the innkeeper, please take care of him, and when I come back, I'll pay you. So he took personal responsibility, and that's what we're trying to do. And so that's why we named this health fair the Good Neighbor Health Fair. So you want to serve others. And Jesus gave us the blueprint, I believe, in this passage in John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, boy, I'm trying to read that. That is small print, and I am too old. So I'm going to pull up my trusty Bible here, and I'm going to read for you in John 13. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water in a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed. You will be blessed if you do them. Just a few quick points I want to make before I wrap up. Number one, Jesus calls us to serve one another in humility. Think about who he was. Now, I'm about to show a picture of some feet in just a moment. And for any of you who may be patients of mine, I just want you to relax. They're not your feet, okay? Think about it. Jesus is the Son of God. Now, they're having their last Passover feast meal, and they're all lying and sitting back. There's what's called a triclinium, where they're leaning forward against a table, but there's like a couch behind them. So their feet are behind them as they're eating. And Jesus interrupts the meal. Now, I don't like to be interrupted when I'm eating, but he interrupted the meal because he had something very important to teach them at that moment. And he went around one by one. Now, in those days, the reason that there was foot washing was because people would walk through the streets, and they weren't walking on paved areas like we walk here. There were dirt roads. There was mud. There was dirt, maybe animal manure. People were walking through, and they'd come to someone's house. And so when they came to someone's house, it was almost like a rite of passage that if you were welcoming that person into your home, you would either supply a bowl or a basin with which they could wash their feet, and it would be saying, you're welcome in my home. or you'd even provide a servant to wash the feet of the person coming into your home. And that was custom at that time. But that role, if there was a servant, was for the lowliest of servants. Either someone who was an indentured servant, so someone who was working for that person because they owed them money, and so they were serving in their home, and they'd wash the feet of those who would come to their home, or it was a Gentile slave. So what did Jesus do? Think about this. They're eating. He stops, and he takes off his outer clothing and wraps a towel around himself, and they're eating. And then he starts walking over to the basin. And I have to believe that people started to think, oh my goodness, is this what Jesus is going to do? This rabbi, the Son of God, is he about to do what I think he's about to do? And he probably came across feet like these. Can you imagine Jesus, the Son of God in the flesh, stooping down to wash these feet? And if he washed the feet, I don't think he just sprinkled a little water on them and said, I've washed your feet. Because everything he did to the best of his ability, and he did excellently. So he's there scrubbing out the dirt between the toes of feet like these. And so what is the point he's making? He's saying serving is never beneath any one of us. Because if Jesus, who is the Son of God, could stoop down to wash feet like these, it doesn't matter how rich you are, how educated you are, how famous you might be, it's never beneath us. Never beneath whoever we may think we are. Because Jesus himself set the example. He's saying that we should serve one another in humility. You know, it's interesting when you hear stories about people that you know. I heard one about a hero of many of us, certainly from mine, back from the Boston area, was Dr. Al Baird. And back in the day, even before he came in connection with the Boston Church, before I became a member there, I heard a story from a brother who had come into Boston. We had him over the house, and he was sharing about what he knew about Al before he came to the Boston Church. He was working as a research physicist. He was a PhD in physics. And he was working as a research physicist, but he was working for a Church of Christ in that area, and they had what's called a bus ministry. And he said, yeah, I remember Al. He was the one, when he was working, he was driving a bus. You know, the Church of Christ would have bus ministry, so they'd pick up kids and bring them to church in Sunday school. And I understand James, that's how he first became a connection with the church. That's what Al was doing. He was driving a bus, picking up kids and bringing them, you know, serving. Nothing is beneath any single one of us. The other thing that's really amazing about this story is who he served. You know, we know that Jesus was aware that the devil had prompted Judas Iscariot to betray him. And Judas did not leave that room until later in the story. So as he was going around washing these feet, one of the people's feet that he washed was the one that he knew was going to betray him. Can you imagine that? As he's going around and washing, he's looking in the face of every single person. And the person who's going to betray him to death, he looks in his eyes with tenderness and he washes his feet. Why is that such a powerful example for any one of us? You know, when we get hurt, when we get lied about, when we get betrayed, when we get disappointed by individuals, it's easy for us to pull back. It's easy for us to get resentful. And that really sets us back. It's hard to be good-natured. It's hard to be giving when our hearts are filled with that. And I think Jesus is giving us an example of how to protect our hearts. Because if someone has hurt you, betrayed you, lied about you, cheated you, serve them. Serve them. It's a powerful way to protect our own hearts. And then, of course, the passage ends with him giving this particular promise to us that when we serve, we're blessed. We should serve one another in humility, but he says, now that I've given you an example, you do it for yourself and serve one another in that way. And he says, you will be blessed. You know, sometimes we serve out of obligation. Sometimes we serve out of a really genuine enthusiasm. But regardless of what motivates us to serve, every time we serve, Jesus says, we're what? We're blessed. We're blessed. Which means experiencing the extreme joy of divine favor, deep blessing. contentment or good fortune. The flip side many of us experience, unfortunately, is when we don't feel very blessed. God wants us to live in such a way where we will be blessed and feel blessed on a daily basis. And so much of that is tied to what? Serving. Serving others with humility. Serving others in such a way that we are serving them not because of who they are, but because of who Christ is. Amen? And that was the example that we had. So I'm going to be wrapping up here in just a moment. So I just wanted to say this. Thank you so much for your attention and your time. I want to ask you to pray. I want you to pray, number one, for your own heart and for me to pray, for my heart, for us to pray together about how this lesson impacts us and what we need to do to really make a difference and be and follow the example of Jesus. Consider how you may have opportunities and to demonstrate acts of service and kindness every day this week. Amen. Consider the needs in your local community and areas of influence for opportunities to serve, okay? And prayerfully consider supporting the Center of Hope, amen, and the Good Neighbor Health Fair, particularly through your efforts and your talents. Remembering everything in the end is Jesus is the perfect example and teacher of how to serve so that we build and what we build will last as we make an impact in LA. Amen. And I'm just going to end here. I'm going to leave up this flyer that has a QR code on it, which will allow you to see opportunities that you may have to serve, particularly in the Good Neighbor Health Fair, which is an opportunity. But let's just look for all the opportunities we have to make a difference for Jesus. Amen. Thank you and God bless you.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.